from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, the first half hour, we'll concentrate our attention on new doubts that have been raised about the steel rods on the Bay Bridge. Sacramento Bee reporter Charles Piller will be joining us. Then at 9:30, we focus on the federal court ruling earlier this week against the sweeping surveillance by the National Security Agency, and discuss what New Yorker writer Ryan Lizza looks into in the December 16th issue of that magazine, the clash in views on intelligence policy between Democratic Senators Ron Wyden of Oregon and California's Dianne Feinstein. That's all up ahead on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. A report by two local engineers has renewed questions about the reliability of steel rods on the recently opened eastern span of the Bay Bridge. We want to discuss the findings with the Sacramento Bee's Charles Piller, who has written extensively about problems with the construction of the new span and who actually called our attention to a 105-page rebuttal report by Yun Chung, who's a retired Bechtel engineer and metallurgist, and Lisa Thomas, who is a Berkeley Research Company affiliate with a Berkeley Research Company. And Charles Piller, welcome back to Forum. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Broke this story and have broken most of the stories on the Bay Bridge, but this one in many ways is particularly of concern, I think, and disturbing, and it's complicated. So let's see if we can break it down. I mean, essentially what they said in this report, as you reported, was oversight that was done. They had no idea of the real susceptibility of most of the critical rods to future corrosion. And the testing protocols were, I think I'm quoting, you quoting them, completely missed the mark.
Yes, I'm afraid that this report was one that was conducted, a research report conducted by an oversight team that consisted of Caltrans and other transportation authorities. And I think listeners might recall that this report issued in July was one of the principal reasons why it was determined that it was safe and reliable to open the bridge on Labor Day. Now, Chung and Thomas wrote their rebuttal, 105-page technical rebuttal to this report. And I have to say it was a scathing indictment of the process and the conclusions reached by the oversight group. Now, it's highly technical, and I'm going to try to summarize briefly what the findings were. The principal concern that Chung and Thomas had involved the basic reason why the rods snapped last March. Now, Caltrans and its advisors concluded that the primary reason was manufacturing problems that allowed hydrogen atoms to enter the steel, causing the steel to become brittle under tension, which is what happens when they're placed under tension to perform their function on that pier of the bridge. What Chung and Thomas found was that, and I think they were appalled to find this.
Outraged, too, Chung said.
Indeed outraged. That some principal misunderstandings of metallurgy, of material science, and really of sort of common sense entered into the calculations in the conclusions of the advisory group and the oversight group. And what Chung and Thomas said is that the real cause of the breakage was environmental corrosion associated with construction errors that allowed all of the broken bolts to be touched by standing water over a period off and on for 5 years that caused corrosion, leading to this intrusion of hydrogen into the steel and their embrittlement. Now, that may seem like a technicality. Well, what does it matter? It was either in manufacturing or environmental corrosion that caused the embrittlement. Well, it matters greatly because the cause of the embrittlement leads to the solution for the problem and to the protection of other rods on that span that are also at risk, according to Chung and Thomas.
And that brings up the possibility that, according to the report, the whole suspension bridge could come down.
Well, of course, that's a worst-case scenario. Now, let me make it clear. Chung and Thomas aren't predicting that any moment the bridge could come down. These are potentially long-term problems having to do with corrosion that might take place over years or even decades. The bigger issue, I think, for a more potentially catastrophic problem is whether the embrittlement of these rods associated with environmental corrosion, if indeed Chung and Thomas's ideas prove to be correct, could lead to failures in a worst-case scenario earthquake, which people should recall is the whole reason why we have this $6.4 billion span that's been built over the last more than a decade.
And their work was reviewed by a number of people, including some leading engineers like Patrick Pizzo of San Jose State and Robert Bee of UC Berkeley, who's been on this program, and pretty much confirmed.
Indeed. And I have to say that having been writing about the bridge for years now, it's extremely difficult to get leading engineers to step forward and play an oversight role in the way that Pizzo and Bee did, among others, I might add, to peer review a private report that was done a concerned citizen, Chung and his colleague Thomas, on their own time with no payment from Caltrans or anyone else, out of concern for public safety. It's very difficult to get leading engineers to come forward and spend the time it takes to review these highly technical documents and to reach a conclusion as they did. So to me, that was an important reportorial issue. Is this confirmed by other leading experts? Because dueling experts is a big problem you have in engineering, and you have to have validation by the top minds in the field.
We're talking with Charles Peller, investigative reporter for the Sacramento Bee, who has covered a report that raises new concerns over steel rods. And if you're driving over the Bay Bridge now, we're talking probably about long term, but one doesn't know how these actuarial tables actually are going to fall into place here. We actually also invited representatives of Caltrans and the MTC, the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, to join us on the program. They declined. Caltrans sent us the following statement from Chief Deputy Director Rick Land, and I'll read it. We agree with Mr. Chung that environmental exposure could have contributed to the failure of the bolts, although our report acknowledges other potential explanations as well. Going forward, we are continuing to consult with experts and are taking all information into account as we plan for the future maintenance of this bridge and its 150-year lifespan. And we should mention, Charles Peller, that a number of times the two who wrote this report asked to meet directly with Caltrans and were not permitted to do so, or we're not given the availability of doing so.
Indeed. I think in particular, Mr. Chung, who has been involved in helping to assess these problems from the very beginning, in other words, from last March after the bolts broke, he heard so much of what he considered to be misunderstandings of material science or pure misinformation coming forth from transportation authorities that he felt compelled to weigh in on his own and do his own examination. He issued a report last spring that was widely discussed both in the press and by public officials as being an important contribution. Then, when the final report came out, he realized that many of the concerns that he had raised had been ignored by the writers of this final report, this official report that, in essence, led to the opening of the new span.
Well, with these questions ongoing about reliability and durability, there is at least some attempt of the legislature to get involved. There's been a lot of talk about the need for an independent expertise investigation, and that would presume state legislators or others would become involved in testing the safety and reliability. And I know Senator Desaunier from Concord, a Democrat from Concord, has at least started the process.
Indeed. He's the head of the Transportation Committee, and I know he's deeply concerned about understanding what went wrong in this elaborate construction process on the bridge, is conducting a series of hearings about it. But more important, in a way, he's also worked with the Legislative Analyst's Office to appoint a genuinely independent expert panel to review a number of problems on the bridge, including some questions about the stability of the concrete in the foundation of the tower. This is a story that I wrote a couple years ago that initially discussed concerns about that structure, as well as the broken rods and perhaps some other issues on the span. Michael, if I may, I just wanted to mention that the metallurgical issues, while technical on these rods, are particularly concerning to people like Chung and others because it's part of a history of difficulties that Caltrans has had associated with this structure, in particular associated with metallurgy. Now, case in point is the tendons on the skyway portion of the span, which runs from Oakland to the suspension bridge in the middle of the bay. And this structure is built in large part with high-strength steel tendons that are internal. You don't see them when you're driving over it or when you're looking from the side, but they're they're critical to upholding that structure. That construction job was thoroughly botched, and Caltrans' own reports have been issued to show the many mistakes that were made that caused corrosion of those tendons. I talked to 9 world-class metallurgists and other engineers who are expert in that method of building. They raised grave concerns about the stability and the long-term structural soundness of the skyway portion and asked that a further review be done of the corrosion and the way it was handled by Caltrans. Caltrans pretty much dismissed those concerns out of hand.
Charles Piller with us in studio, investigative reporter for the Sacramento Bee. This is only a half-hour segment, so you, if you have questions, would like to probably avail yourself now of bringing in your voice. You can do that by phone. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786, and we do welcome your phone calls. So if you have questions or would like to just join the conversation, comments, 866-733-6786. You can also, of course, email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment. And you can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. Real concern with this report about steel rods and the Bay Bridge, just as Labor Day opened and everybody thought this was behind us. Chung said he couldn't understand, in fact, how this oversight group and its consultants, even a review team from the Federal Highway Administration, missed all this.
Yes, it was puzzling to him and, in fact, shocking. And I might add that other engineers, such as the ones you mentioned, Professor Pizzo from San Jose State, as well as Professor Bia from Cal, both were also pretty alarmed at the apparent naivete and metallurgical science represented in the final report by the oversight group. I wanted to mention briefly that there are a couple of other technical issues that listeners might want to be aware of. It goes beyond the cause of the breakage of those bolts, but 2 other issues that were almost wholly unexamined by Caltrans and its oversight group. One is that some of these rods were produced with a method called cold rolling, which involved the creation of threads on the rods by a mechanical process at room temperature. It greatly hardens the portion of those rods that are on
the threaded ends. Yeah.
Threaded ends greatly hardens them. Hardness is the enemy in this case. The harder the rod, the more susceptible it is to embrittlement and the intrusion of hydrogen atoms that causes embrittlement. Now,
and contamination, essentially. Yeah. And
essentially contamination that could cause their later breakage. Because this was basically unaddressed by Caltrans and by its overseers in their special report, it's unknown the degree to which this cold rolling process that created the harder threaded portions might affect the bridge in years to come. And it's a deep concern for Chung and Thomas. They also raised 1 other technical concern I'll mention just briefly. There were very unusual hardness profiles in many of the rods on the span where they're harder internally than at the edges, which is the opposite of what you'd expect for these very large, hard steel rods. Again, lack of information, lack of examination leads to concern about metallurgical science, the knowledge, and the ability to follow up.
And again, feel free to join us in the time remaining. If you have concerns you want to express or questions, it's toll-free 866-733-6786, or our email address is forum@kqed.org. Frank is our first caller. Frank, join us. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. I had a question about the universe of rods affected based on the Chung report as composed to the original determination that it was a manufacturing defect for a certain number of batches. Is the reason you're concerned because the number of rods affected based on the standing water theory is much larger and therefore there are more failure points?
No, that's an excellent question. The issue is not that there's additional standing water known of in the bridge right now, but more the question of the bay's marine environment and how it, over a long period of time, can cause corrosion on these rods. Caltrans has not completely ignored this by any means. They have created certain chambers for some of the key rods that would protect them against some of the water and humidity. They say that these chambers are watertight. Now, that's certainly a step in the right direction. Chung, Thomas, and their peer reviewers, however, feel that watertight chambers for some of these critical rods at the top and bottom of the tower and also at the anchorage of the main cable, which is near the pier where the other rods broke, that watertight chambers are not adequate, that they need airtight chambers because of the salty, humid air that is in the bay environment that could, over time, affect those rods.
Let me thank Frank for the call. And why do you think Caltrans has been so reluctant or apprehensive, I don't know how to read it, to sit down and talk about this with Chung and Thomas? I mean, one would think that it would be to their advantage and it would be something that they would indeed want to do.
Yes, I think that this was an irritant to Chung, who has himself put in hundreds of hours of study in this question and written this elaborate report as well as other materials out of a concern for public safety. No one disputes that Chung is an extremely knowledgeable metallurgist and someone whose views hold weight. But I think that this is a pattern of dismissal of critics that other engineers have said they've also experienced with Caltrans and with other top bridge officials. I'm not completely sure why they don't want to engage in dialogue with genuine, knowledgeable concerns. But I might add that this is not untypical of their response to anyone who raises concerns about the span. I have been attempting to get interviews with Caltrans engineers for years on these matters, and typically they won't allow any of their engineers to speak with me. They instead issue terse responses to written questions, which really doesn't improve dialogue and doesn't get the public the sort of detailed information that I think would serve their interests extremely well. If they're so confident in this span and its structural stability, why not talk to the press? Why not talk to concerned, knowledgeable engineers who have concerns about the way in which these tests were conducted?
Is the Chung Thomas report available online?
It is posted at the Sacramento Bee website.
Okay, and let's go to more of your calls. We'll go to Oakland. Jamal, good morning.
Good morning. For your listeners who are not structural engineers or metallurgists, what do all these reports mean? Is the bridge going to collapse in 5 years, 10 years? Are some of the bolts going to start slipping? Are we going to have to shut the bridge down? Just that basic sort of response.
Sure.
What a lot of listeners have.
Thanks very much for that question. So let me make it clear that there's really two dimensions to this problem. One is the structural stability of the span in a worst-case scenario earthquake. Remember, this was the reason the bridge was built, because we know that the old span was not up to standing up to the worst-case scenario earthquake. So $6.4 billion of public funds were spent to make sure that we had a lifeline structure in the Bay Area. Now, Chung and other leading engineers believe that it's possible that problems, unexamined, uninformed examination and failure to examine bolts in the proper way could lead to breakage of those in a worst-case scenario earthquake, breakage that could lead to structural problems on the span. And that scenario, while grave, is possible, and that's why they're urging so strongly to have the new testing done, testing that's more robust and gets more closely to the point of weakness of some of those rods. For day-to-day use, I think it should be remembered that short of a worst-case scenario earthquake, no one's expecting this bridge to fall apart tomorrow, the next day, next year. It's a matter of steady degradation associated with materials that weren't properly used, that were allowed to corrode, or in other cases were the wrong materials. That doesn't mean a catastrophic collapse, but it might mean vastly increased maintenance costs over the life of this 150-year structure.
And I thank Jamal for the call. Again, if you just joined us, Charles Piller, investigative reporter with the Sacramento Bee, our guest, and we go to more of your calls. Carrie, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to ask Charles what, if any, part he believes that the pressure to get through this whole process quickly, both in design and rebuilding the bridge and incentivizing contractors to move quickly to get that bridge reopened, played in all of this.
Well, I can't really give you my own personal opinion, but what I can say is that many of my sources within Caltrans and many leading engineers with whom I spoke believe that the project was pushed through with inadequate testing and inadequate thoughtfulness about the metallurgical issues that we've been talking about today. I think, look, it's pretty clear that Caltrans felt enormous pressure, and validly.
They wanted to move quickly. They wanted to get it done quickly.
Yeah. They did, and for good reason. They wanted to get people off the old span, which everyone acknowledges needed to be replaced. The problem is that it's one thing to move people off the span. It's another thing to do it in a way where unexamined problems could come back to haunt you. And let's be clear, fixing these problems associated with rods, with tendons, and even perhaps with the foundation, if it comes to that, these are much more difficult to do when the bridge is in service. So it would have probably been to Caltrans' advantage to look at the critical comments made by leading engineers, to examine them carefully, and to take appropriate remediation in advance of opening the span. And I think that's what a lot of engineers have been saying and are concerned about.
And Kerry, I thank you for the call. Speaking about the engineers, one of our listeners writes, who was on the advisory review board that wrote the report? Was it 100% engineers and specifically material scientists, or were there non-technical people such as lawyers and managers on the board? Chung and Thomas are engineers, I gather. Anyone who has spent any time in the industry knows this. If you want the truth, ask the engineers and technical staff, not the managers.
Good question. The report, the final report that Chung and Thomas critiqued, was written by a team of three people, the heads of Caltrans, the California Transportation Commission, and the Bay Area Toll Authority. These are the overseers of that project. And their views, of course, were buttressed by consulting with many, many engineers in the employ of Caltrans and of the bridge builders. I think part of the reason that an independent report has been called for, and part of the reason that Chung and Thomas did their own report is that, unfortunately, there are many conflicts of interest, both professional and financial, associated with the advice that Caltrans received about this bridge over the years. I wrote an investigation of their primary advisory group, which consists of, no doubt, eminent, highly regarded engineers, but unfortunately, engineers whose specialty expertise wasn't always appropriate to the problems they were considering and who were very conflicted in a professional sense with their work on the bridge.
You wonder if it's possible to even do one of these projects without conflicts and because of the small world of engineers. But also, I'm looking at an email here from Bill who says, if I recall correctly, Caltrans saved roughly $200 million by using Chinese steel. Had they used domestic steel, would there have been any difference in corrosion or other material defects?
Well, the rods that are in question for this report that we're discussing today were not built in China. They were built in the U.S.
Well, I've only got 90 seconds left here, or even less than that. Where's this going to go? Where's next for you as the guy who's been on top of this story from the beginning?
Well, I think there's still, regrettably, some other shoes to drop associated with this span and its construction challenges and issues. I think the next two things for our listeners to keep in mind is that there will be an independent review of this problem and the foundation problem, the foundation of the tower, by the committee set up by the Legislative Analyst's Office in cooperation with Senator DeSaulnier's committee. That will be over the next few months. DeSaulnier is also conducting hearings about the process that Caltrans used to build this structure, why it took so long, why there were so many construction challenges. Those will be public hearings taking place in Sacramento early next year.
Well, we'll follow those, and thanks for all your good work. Charles Piller, investigative reporter of the Sacramento Bee. We are coming up on another segment of this opening hour, and when we return, we're going to talk about the ruling that came out of a federal court earlier this week that NASA phone record surveillance program, NSA, I should say, was unconstitutional. And we're going to talk with Ryan Lizza, Washington correspondent for The New Yorker, who actually traces the whole question of privacy and surveillance going way back, but also talks about some serious clash between a couple of our senators, including California's Dianne Feinstein and Ron Wyden from up in Oregon. I'm Michael Krasny.